But I want to hit on another subject first that I think is, it needs to be more, you know, front of the mind, if you will. There are Americans right now that are still in just complete disarray in terms of their physical lives, having been disrupted by Hurricane Helene. Houses destroyed, whole communities set back, jobs lost, businesses gone. And this has been, I'm gonna bet this has been a 100-year, if not a 1,000-year flood. But when Hurricane Helene swept through, nobody anticipated anything like what we saw. And if you go back and just Google some of the images, you would watch whole houses being washed down river. You'd watch people looking out their window going, like saying things like, "Honey, honey, get out." And then they have to get out of the house because the house is just suddenly going underwater as they watched it. I mean, it's come rushing down out of the hillsides. Well, what's so maddening, though, is that there's been now, FEMA may take issue with this, but from an outsider looking in, FEMA's response just appears to be tepid. Now, down in Florida, they have done an amazing job. Now, Florida, by the way, is, granted, it's Hurricane Central, right? Hurricanes in South Alabama and Florida and Texas coast and Louisiana, they see that kind of thing on a regular basis. Nobody saw coming what happened in North Carolina, East Tennessee, you know, even portions of you know, South Carolina. But the devastation has been writ large. And yet FEMA is still trying to figure out what to do. And what galls me is that FEMA doesn't seem to have a hurry-up bone in their body. Now, if somebody out there has a different experience, you can tell me. I can still remember, you know, looking in the aftermath of what happened with Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans back in, what, was that 2004 or five? Yeah. And we, you know, we had displaced people all over, and there are whole wards of New Orleans that are still, you know, for the most part, not built on. But something about the way North Carolina is being handled just seems like another example of the Biden administration not having it together. And I'm not trying to make this fully political, but I almost can't help it because it seems to be everything the Biden administration touches has just been just an epic failure. And FEMA has been no different. Even to the point that there was, at one point, keep in mind, by the way, who's in charge of FEMA? Technically, it's Alejandro Mayorkas. That's right, Department of Homeland Security. So Alejandro Mayorkas made the comment that, oh, well, yeah, we may not have enough money. Well, you've been giving a lot of money to illegal aliens. How is that a thing? So we've got FEMA funds supporting illegal immigrants while we got Americans that are still living in tents. In tents! In tents, no less. Winter in the mountains of North Carolina is not fun in a tent, especially if you're a family, especially if you've had everything you owned washed away, especially when you're being told that the government will help because the government has this whole department called FEMA that's designed to actually provide help. And yet what we are seeing is a pretty amazing response from the private sector. Charitable responses. You know, people just getting together and just deciding to do stuff have been epic. And the stories have come out that have been maddening on the one hand and yet just encouraging on the other. Maddening as government bureaucracy tries to tell people, well, you're not allowed to rebuild here because you're technically in a floodplain. My house was here last week. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to build here anymore because your house is in a floodplain. That's a law that was put in place for down in Florida. The mountains of North Carolina, that's not the same thing. Well, you appear to be in a floodplain, so I'm not sure we'll be able to give you money for rebuilding. You're a bureaucrat. My house was here. My farm is here. My family has lived here for generations. And so they're being left to their own devices. Well, we're going to talk about some things that have been happening that are maddening, and yet some, though, that have been just unbelievably cool. Like, did you hear what NASCAR just did? NASCAR and Lowe's, they just teamed up, just decided to do stuff. And it's been amazing. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. We're in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm just calling it relief. Just sweet relief. Let's bring some relief to these folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Thursday. I had to remind myself it was Thursday. I don't know what day this is. It's like, I am so out of check right now. I slept later than usual yesterday. Whacked me completely out.
Is that what did it?
Maybe. I don't know. All I know is we took 2 days off in the middle of the week, and now I feel like it's Monday. It's really Thursday. What in God's name?
Two more days, and we'll be back to the weekend.
I know. It's like, wow. But apparently a lot of the world's not working at all, and here we are.
Yep, we are here.
Right Side Media, we are here for you, man. A couple of texts. Kano from Layton, Alabama, sent me a text about spiritual warfare. And yeah, Kano, I mean, had talked about his dad, who was a college professor, also a preacher, who had passed away and felt like there was a real serious case for spiritual warfare, and that, you know, each country was, you know, dealing with its own version of spiritual. I don't disagree with that, man. I think there's a lot to be said for strongholds. But at the same time, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world, right? But Kano, thanks for the text. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, Alejandro Mayorkas still being the head of Homeland Security, maybe you're in the flood-affected areas, you can just renounce your citizenship and get paid from FEMA and for being an illegal alien. Pays better than being a regular American anyway. No doubt. No doubt. By the way, he also says, you're not the only one working today. I got called back for 1 day, so I'm in Alabama. Well, Jeff, the world is safer if you are making the wheels of commerce go. So, yeah, there's that. Listen, we're going to talk about this stuff going on with North Carolina, Indiana. I'm calling this section relief. But I tell you what's not relieving is the fact that there are so many Americans right now who are still where they are. Keep in mind, this storm happened back in October. You've got people that are devastated and waiting on relief, and it's slow coming, man. I mean, like slow coming. And by the way, if you wouldn't mind telling the caller, I got to get going on some information here. He may have to call back unless he's on topic. If he's off topic, he's on topic?
Yeah, he said he wants to comment on the FEMA stuff. So,
well, I'll tell you what, then. Let me say a couple things, and I'll grab that phone real quick. So I've got a piece here. I had to go local news to get some of this, because what's also maddening is how much of this gets lost in the major news cycles. Now, I know we had the election. Yes, I get it. I know that the Biden administration is just screwing other things up, too. Those are taking news. I get it. You know, Doge is a big deal. I get it. All this stuff is happening. But you know what? Story here off of WUNC, which is a local channel out of North Carolina. It says, 3 months after Helene struck western North Carolina, thousands of people are still out of their homes. Let that sink in. Thousands. Thousands of people are still out of their homes. It says FEMA is still paying hotel bills for more than 5,000 people displaced by the storm, providing temporary rental assistance for more than 500, and has placed dozens in mobile housing so far. Okay, so the numbers began to kind of sink in. I thought, wait a minute. They got 5,000 they're paying for hotels for. I'm glad, but by the way, that benefit is due to run out in 2 weeks. 5,000 people in hotels, 500 more they provided some other kind of rental assistance to. I don't know what that means. Maybe a rental house or a Vrbo or something. And then they say they placed dozens in mobile homes. Dozens. Why? I remember Katrina. There were hundreds, maybe thousands of FEMA trailers. Where'd they go? What have we done with them? Why are we not doing that again? They've placed dozens in mobile housing. And then it follows the next line of the article. Private charities have also put hundreds in trailers and other temporary housing. Wait a minute. FEMA's got dozens of trailers. Private charities have put up hundreds. You're telling me the weight of the U.S. government cannot keep up with the private sector's relief? Now, not that I'm... Listen... I am absolutely in favor of churches and charitable groups and groups like Samaritan's Purse and others doing what they're doing. I think it is awesome. I mean, my own church, Church of the Highlands, has got teams that are still up there, as far as I know, that are working. Now, it goes on to talk about some of the things that are happening. Like this is a thing. So right now, FEMA has placed 25 people in a little inn called the Shady Lawn Inn in a place called Newland, North Carolina. It's a little bitty country hotel. And the co-owner there has turned the whole lobby into like a living room with cushy chairs and couches. It's like a family environment. And she's tried to make it a home for them. So you got FEMA is paying, but the fact is there's a church that brings lunch 3 times a week to this group in the hotel. The hotel owner cooks dinner every night with food that's paid for by outside donations. This is amazing. She says, we're trying to keep people's spirits up, and it's a pretty diverse group here at the inn. And in some ways, we've stitched them all together into one big storm-battered family. Well, that's awesome. Says 3 of them living at the hotel had their houses totally destroyed. Others are waiting on repairs. Most aren't sure when they'll go home. They're talking about people living there who are retirees, some with children, some with teenagers. And life has to go on, but they're living out of a hotel. Everything with FEMA is pending, says one of the group's members. We're not getting any direction, any answers. They're not saying, okay, these are your options. They're just saying, we don't know, we can't tell you. We're living in limbo. Now, the free stays, by the way, were due to end on December 4th, but now they're extended to January 11th. So that's coming up fast, y'all. And the nature of the damage, the article points out, like the mountain terrain and all of it has created just, it's tough to get, I get it, it's tough to get trailers in, except that a private group, and I'll tell you about it more in just a minute, has just brought in 100 tiny homes. 100, and they're all up to code. Let me grab the phone real quick since it's on topic real quick. Robert from Athens is on line one. Hey, Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Phil. You doing all right?
I'm good. What you got?
Oh, yeah, that FEMA. I tell you, the people, they know they have to have assistance from FEMA. And, you know, they're just bilking the coffers every time they fill it up, I guess. But if the people were helping them like they are, everybody else from around the country, states, nearby states and all that, they're helping. That's just about the only way that I see that anything's going to get done, because I think FEMA needs to be reworked a little bit. I think they need to get their act together, especially when it comes to money.
I agree.
And who they spend it on.
Yeah, when you find out they're spending on illegal immigrants, that's pretty maddening.
You can't. I got a sawmill here at home. I couldn't take that sawmill to Georgia or up there to Tennessee and help build a house, because a lot of their laws up there in North Carolina and all that, you know. Well, you have to have graded lumber, you know, to build a house. And that's just silly. Some of the laws, you know, you were talking about the floodplains and all that. It's just there's too much bureaucracy, like you said a while ago, in FEMA. And it doesn't need to be. Somebody needs to be in there that's elected so they can get kicked out when the money goes. When the money goes away to some other thing that doesn't need it.
I completely agree. We're watching right now. The private sector is still doing some amazing things in there, the charitable groups and churches and others. But FEMA is supposed to be the lead. In fact, by law, FEMA is the lead. FEMA comes in and they are the lead agency. Once they establish the footprint on the ground, they take over from anybody who's there, and you're supposed to coordinate through them. And yet what we're finding out a lot of times is, like you said, they put red tape in the way. They're bound by bureaucratic, all kinds of nonsense. And then you got the budgeting, and you don't want fraud. I mean, you don't want somebody applying for aid that doesn't need it, but it seems like the process of getting approval has got some people wondering why things are. But, you know, at the very least, we knew that Kamala Harris was going to promise them all $750. That was important. I guess that would you know, a few dinners. But, hey, Robert, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. I got a sound clip. Do I have time for it? No, I take it back. I'm going to wait on the sound clip after the next break. I will say this. FEMA has apologized most recently. Again. WBTV, which is, again, a local channel out of Charlotte, North Carolina, says FEMA apologizes. This is right at 2.5 weeks ago. FEMA apologizes after failing to deliver promised trailers to Helene survivors in North Carolina. Okay. So they delivered some, I will say that. But they had told WBTV, the same channel I'm reading from now, they had told WBTV back that they would have 103 travel trailers delivered by Thanksgiving. And by December, they still had only delivered 46. Why'd you promise 103 if you're going to deliver less than half of that? More than 500 families have been approved for one of those travel trailers. And yet FEMA says, well, we're sorry, we had a bit of a miscommunication within the agency, and we'll be very cautious about disseminating information, and we won't be making any commitments on times in the near future because we don't want to, basically what they're saying is they don't want to be bound to a timeline. They're saying, hey, listen, we won't make commitments anymore. Well, you're supposed to. Your job is commitment. Your job is to make commitments to people who are looking for someone to give them commitments. If you come in and you're all gray, then people who need the black and white are not going to be happy, and they're not going to be satisfied, and they're not going to be cared for. So what you've got right now is an agency that is fearful of doing its job, is struggling to do it well, is been spending money on the illegals because that's the thing that they were told they had to do by their boss, Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden. And you look at it and go, my gosh, y'all, you've got 5,000 displaced Americans, and you just sent more money to Ukraine. You got 5,000 Americans who are not in their homes, who had them ripped away by no fault of their own. They didn't build in the wrong place. They weren't not built to code. They were not in, you know, in some kind of an awkward situation where they shouldn't have ever been there. Nothing like that. A massive thousand-year storm came through, swept away whole communities. And now you can't get your act together well enough to get them trailers? Trailers, for God's sake. It's just a trailer. Go buy them. You just sent billions more to Ukraine without a plan, but you can't go down to the local RV and listen, I guarantee you, you could. In fact, I am pretty sure there are RV parks and RV manufacturers and distributors who would be loving the idea of a government contract. Sure, you want to buy out our inventory? We're for that. And next thing you know, you're supplying trailers. But you can't do that. Why? I don't know. I guess you have to go through a government bid process, and you got to make sure you have enough DEI mixed into your contract. And then they got to be built to a certain standard, which is not anything that anybody needs, but it's, you know, hey. And then you're going to have them shipped in, and you're going to have that bid out to somebody. And then you're going to have to, it gets, here's the deal. If you look down in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, he had bridges rebuilt within a week. He had power back on within days. Maddening. All right, I just ran long. I'm rambling, but when we come back from this break, I'm gonna play you one that relates to Tennessee, which I guess is good because we're about to be on the air in Chattanooga. So all you East Tennessee folks, I got a sound clip coming for you. You're gonna want to hear Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just like saving the world one soundbite at a time. That's what I like to say. Badger from Athens says he's working today as well. Badger, we're glad that the wheels of commerce are being cared for by people like you. Thank you very much. Kimball from Harvest checked in. He says, Phil, that's right, Phil. He says, the weight of the U.S. government can't keep up with the private sector. Most anything the government does, the private sector can do better if left alone. By the time FEMA gets its boots on and shows up, private individuals and organizations are well on their way to solving the problems and addressing any and all concerns, including the spiritual needs that arise from these natural disasters. Kimball, Harvest. You are correct, sir. Let me tell you one of the things that's happening. I mentioned the whole floodplain thing. People are finding out right now that they're being told they can't rebuild their houses in the same place they were. I got a story here. How much time do we have? I ran long last time. Do I have enough time for this?
We got about 3 minutes.
Whew, it's going to be close. I got a piece here from local news out of East Tennessee. Let's go ahead and listen to a report that tells you some things that'll curl your hair. Go ahead.
Yeah, county officials learning from FEMA and TEMA, people are building or rebuilding what they call floodplains or floodways, areas essentially that can flooding, where that flooding can happen. Now, this concern from emergency officials raising the alarm for Cott County, trying to figure out if they want to keep the current plan.
It's a situation almost putting Cott County between a rock and a hard place.
It's turned into more of a complicated event than what I think we imagined we would ever be facing.
People were trying to rebuild in certain areas before getting approval from FEMA. Cott County's property assessor says that now has leaders questioning if the county should keep the National Flood Insurance Plan. It's had it since 1988.
It kind of raised some concerns about what the ramifications of being in the program might be versus what they might be if we're not in the program.
County leaders have to determine if they keep the insurance, causing a stop in some homes being rebuilt, or get rid of the program.
I believe there's also some setbacks for the county as far as federal funding goes if we pull out of the program.
On top of that, Reed also says people would have to get flood insurance through lenders directly, likely costing people more money. Reed's worried about the people personally hit months after this storm.
Stop it there. So what you just heard is a classic example of bureaucracy. It's to the point now that the people in this community area they're talking about is just outside of Pigeon Forge area, I believe you said, and they're like, they don't even want to be part of the National Flood Insurance Program anymore because it comes with so many stringers. Like houses that have existed where they were for the longest time were hit by a 1,000-year flood. And FEMA's now saying, well, you know, you're not going to be able to rebuild there anymore. We're not going to be able to give you funds for a rebuild. It's maddening. And this is people want to go back to where their houses were. They want to know that what they had is what they're allowed to have again. Why would you not? And so it's so much so that local government leaders are like, you know what? Screw this. Why do we want to be involved in this program if all you're going to do is come in and say, well, we can't insure it? If you build it, what do you mean you can't insure it? It was there before. That's what insurance is for. Flood insurance. Listen, I know flood insurance is a big deal. Charlene and I are lucky. We built our house near the Coosa River, but we were able to make sure that it was not in the floodplain because otherwise it would have been costly. And I get it. But you know what? If they pay the premiums, that's what you're for. And if you have a national flood insurance program mandated by law, thank you very much. And the participating communities don't want to participate anymore, what does that tell you? You've created a giant of bureaucracy that no one wants to be a part of because all you do is make people's lives miserable. Your job is to ensure and let them get back to living. That's what it's for. I got more on this. I'm on a rant. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I'm talking about Alabama, y'all, Alabama. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. That's about to change a little bit, by the way. Not that we're not going to cover some major ground. Just we're going to cover new and different ground as well. So listen, if you have not heard the announcement, two things. One is we announced last week that, in fact, I just sent the contract in. We are now going to be broadcasting live out of Chattanooga as well. So Chattanooga, Tennessee, we look forward to joining you. And that Chattanooga broadcast actually goes not just through Chattanooga, Tennessee, East Tennessee area, but also well into Northwest Georgia and parts of Northeast Alabama. So we're stoked about that. Looking forward to joining up with Cumulus Broadcasting's WGOW out of Chattanooga. Live as usual. Now, here's the other piece of this, though. Those of y'all that are 101.1 out of Birmingham ruffians, all you Right Side ruffians on 101.1, that is changing next week. So we went through contract renegotiation with Crawford Broadcasting, and after the negotiations were done, we decided our best situation was to go ahead and say thank you anyway. So we have decided to leave 101.1 effective January 1st. So next week, you're going to hear the last few days of Right Side Radio on 101.1, but you can still get us live every day no matter where you are. No matter where you are in the whole wide world, go to the World Wide Web, and you can click on YouTube, our website, rightsidemedia.org, two different places on X or Twitter, at Sinfield Williams or Right Side Media. You can also go to Twitch. You can go to Rumble. Listen, we broadcast the live audio and video every single day. That's what Charlene does. My wife, she listens to the show on her phone every day. So if you have not done this, 101.1 people, here's what I'm asking you to do right now. Go over and check it out. Don't get caught off guard next week when you turn on your radio and go, oh, wait, what's that show I don't recognize? Well, Do it now so you're ready for it next week. And here's one of the things we would really like to ask you guys to do. We are growing as a company. Right Side Media is the name of the broad company. We do podcasting, radio, all of it. But Right Side Media is growing, and part of how we grow is you guys clicking follow or subscribe or like, depending upon what platform you're on. Like YouTube, if you'll go to YouTube, go to Right Side Media, find us. We're broadcasting right now. If you haven't already hit subscribe, please hit subscribe. Last week, y'all pushed us over 1,000 subscribers, which gave us the chance to start doing more on YouTube right away. But every time we grow, we get more opportunities. So just, if you would, hit subscribe. All right, that's enough of that. Let me move on to the information I've got at hand. So I'm finishing up this section on relief. I'll finish it this segment, I think. I got a piece here from WLOS out of Asheville, North Carolina. And I love this. So apparently Lowe's and NASCAR and a whole bunch of home builders got together. They decided, well, by golly, we're going to get her done. And they did. In the tradition of like blue collar, get her done, salt of the earth America, they just delivered roughly 100 temporary tiny homes. And they're nice. I mean, and every one of them has been individually built. So on Friday, December 20th, NASCAR made its final delivery of 17 tiny homes to Charlotte. They had NASCAR haulers bring them in a parade. I mean, it was really something else to see the video of it. It's a $12 million commitment from NASCAR and Lowe's. And a bunch of home builders got busy. They said, you know what? We were thinking about this, and we thought, we should be able to do something. We can swing hammers. We know how to build stuff. But it's pretty costly. And so they solicited Lowe's, and then Lowe's got NASCAR. You know, Lowe's sponsors a NASCAR team. And they got busy, and they said, let's get this done. And so they got a huge warehouse, and they began just building these things and then hauling them to Carolina. I mean, they've been going. I've got one article here. Which one? I got two articles about this. Yeah, one of them said, we were worried about having enough people, and we put out a sign-up sheet, and a week later we had 400 volunteers. That's the Greater Home Builders Association of Charlotte, North Carolina. And one guy said, I basically haven't worked my real job in about 3 weeks. I've been sleeping about 4 hours a night just to make it happen. That, my friends, is how it goes. That, my friends, is America. That is just awesome. And in one section of the article says, nobody said no. It said as many as 400 skilled laborers donated time. Another 50 homes built by Incredible Tiny Homes, which is another company that does tiny homes for a living, with funding from Lowe's, brings the total to 67 to be deployed before Christmas with help from a group called Beloved Asheville and NASCAR, who jumped at the opportunity to get the completed homes across the finish line. That's just cool. And by the way, update on that was a story from December 19th. By December 26th, they had reached 100. So FEMA could not get it done. Remember that? FEMA was going to get 100 trailers there by Thanksgiving. And then by December, first week of December, they had 46. This group of volunteers said, we'll do that. And by the way, that's one community out of Charlotte. One community found 400 volunteers, a $12 million series of donations from Lowe's and from NASCAR, and they got it done. And this article is just amazing to read. The people talk about getting these tiny homes. They're bringing them right to them. They're driving them up there and putting them on their property so they can live at their home and watch their home be repaired while they live on the site. Now, a couple more things here, and I'll tell you, this just blessed me. Story, Dateline today, Fox News. Two Hurricane Helene victims, a family of four and a Vietnam veteran, were both gifted campers on Christmas Day. So this is actually very cool. There's an organization that's called Emergency RV. That's their name. It's a 501c3, a nonprofit called Emergency RV. Their mission in life is to provide housing to displaced survivors of natural disasters. They have given over 77 campers to people around the Hurricane Helene area in Carolinas, Georgia, Tennessee, all of it. Since September, they've given away 77 campers. Well, most recently, right before Christmas, there was one family, the Pendleys, their name, from Boone, North Carolina. They lost everything in the storm. And they were just discharged from the hospital because they just had their second child. And they were about to move into a homeless shelter because they don't have anything. And emergency RV heard about it. They said, nope, that's not going to happen. So they gave them this wonderful, it's basically two parents and, you know, two adults and two children. One is a toddler and one's the newborn. And now they have a one bedroom camper that has a second sleeping area on the other side. It's got a nice sized bathroom, a large kitchen, seating table, a couch, and they brought it right to him. Another guy, 70-year-old Marine Corps veteran, Vietnam vet, he lived in a camper on his land, and Helene tore the roof off of his camper, and emergency RV bought him a brand new camper. And his daughter was there and said, you helped turn my dad's life around. And that's just, that's America right there. Hey, the last one I got on this, though. Got this off townhall.com, Dateline yesterday. I did not know that President Trump had started his own personal GoFundMe account for Hurricane Helene. Did you know that?
I didn't know that either.
I didn't either. I mean, but go figure. Why not? Right. I mean, right when he's in the throes of finishing up his election and dealing with all of his legals and all the things, he started the GoFundMe to get people to begin contributing to the relief effort. And it says in here, when it became evident in September that the federal government was failing to adequately respond, President-elect Donald Trump launched a GoFundMe page for hurricane victims. He announced over $8 million in donations for victims of Hurricane Helene raised through that dedicated GoFundMe. They were able to provide relief to nearly 50,000 people across all 50 states. And the funds were distributed through charities like Samaritan's Purse, Water Mission, Mountain to Sea, the Clinch Foundation, Sweetwater Mission, and several others. So basically what he did was he raised money, gave it to charities, and put them to work. And they just went out there and got busy. It's also, by the way, it was the largest GoFundMe total of any account that GoFundMe had in the entire year of 2024. So here's the bottom line, folks. I'm telling you, I named this one relief. But some of these folks don't feel like they have any relief yet. Some of these folks are like, where's my government with all the promises? And then they see stuff on the news like billions going to Ukraine. And they see things on the news like billions being spent on illegal immigrants. And they wonder, when am I going to get my house back? And I'm an American citizen and I'm a taxpayer. When am I getting my house back? Why can't you just tell me something? But I will tell you that I take a great sense of relief, to use the word in the other direction. I take a great sense of relief in knowing that there are churches and people and organizations who are stepping in and in many ways working to fill that gap and doing it in a way that goes way beyond anything that you could ever expect to see from the federal government. If you wait on the government, you will always be dissatisfied. Nothing replaces good people getting busy. I got time for one call before I go to the break, and I see it's on the line one. Steve from Huntsville. Hey, man, how are you?
How you doing, Colonel? Good to talk to you.
You too, man. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to let you know there was a guy at work that had a fairly new travel trailer, still had a payoff on it, and he put all the paperwork out there, and he owed $13,000 on it, and he did a GoFundMe, and it took less than 2 weeks. And he had the payoff amount, and they drove it to North Carolina and dropped it off with the guys up there.
How about that?
Just to try and help at least one family, because a lot of people around here know you can lose anything, everything at one time, especially in Tornado Alley South.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that he's a really good person for that. I don't want to say his name, but I don't have his permission. But that man's a Christmas miracle. He did that about a month ago.
Well, that is awesome. You know, and I love hearing those anecdotal stories of people just deciding they're going to do something, anything. And, yeah, Steve, thanks for sharing that with us, by the way. And, by the way, when you talk to him at work, tell him how much I appreciate it. And if he wants to come on the show or you know, have his name known, you let me know, all right?
No problem. Merry Christmas, sir.
Yeah, sir. After you too. And Happy New Year. Yeah, that is very cool. We had those guys in studio. How long has it been now? A month or so ago?
Yeah, that was like right when, like, a week or so after
it was
that
all
happened.
Fresh.
Yeah, it's nuts how much more stuff average citizens can do than the federal government.
And what's crazy is they don't go out there looking for the notoriety,
not
issuing press releases, you know. And like that guy, he's talking about that the world's never going to know, for the most part, that that guy got his trailer paid off so he could give it away.
Yeah.
I mean, he had worked to pay off that trailer, no telling what he had hoped to do with it, and then realized somebody else might need a living space. It was recreational space for him, and now it's living space for somebody else.
Yeah. But what's really annoying too about FEMA promising stuff, like don't make promises you can't back up, especially to these people in this time. That just adds to the pain that they're already going through.
Yeah.
It's just the incompetence is very frustrating.
But you know, you also take a look at what we have, and what I would say is don't take it for granted.
Yes.
Charlene and I were able to build, after living in the same house for 24 years of our 38-year marriage, we finally built a house that, you know, we've called our retirement house, and we love it. But I can't tell you how many times we sat on the back deck, looked at the water, and I'll say, or she'll say, one of us will say out loud, we do not take this for granted. And you can't. You can't, because you watch people having things snatched away overnight, and you realize how much we have. All right, that's enough for that. That's relief. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. It is time for the annual airing of the grievances. The Festivus Report is next. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.